So you take your short rest. During this time, Cassian spends it kind of arranging the bones in a reverent way.
I want to help him.
Yeah. All right, you do that. While Majumbo is tending to Nil's wounds and Navia is practicing with her sword, and I imagine Nil's kind of like sitting by while he's getting his wounds tended to, kind of giving her tips as you guys are in this room.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Cassian is kind of attending to the bones of his fallen comrades. What do you do?
Does the Order of Galadoy have a service that they perform for the dead?
Yes. We going way back to season one, we had Koyrim did a kind of rite of remembrance in the Inner Sanctum at Galamathir that Margin was with, where you like set a leaf out into a pool of water that was like part of a like letting go of things.
I want to perform that remembrance.
Okay.
I have sap from the trees that we collected. When we first touched down in the Feywild, Navia and Kat did a little scratching.
Right. You just did your little like science experiment when things were still so innocent.
Yeah, I have a sample of silver sap from a huge black moon tree.
Yeah, okay. So let's say that you like create, you pour some water from, you know, your water skin that you would have or whatever into a vessel of some kind that you either fashion or find. And then you drop some of that sap into it to create a reflecting pool of sorts. And it is through this reflection that you do this kind of remembrance rite where you, you know, set in memories or whatever of the loved one, and then let that go into the reflection. It's reflected back at you, and then it's off into the ether. Do you say anything to him while you do this?
I can tell that this is weighing heavy on you. Like you had some part in it, that this is your fault, that you were the only survivor, but this was not your fault.
That's kind of you to say, but I don't know what truth there is in those words. If I know you mean to be comforting, but I just can't help but feel responsible. And then to have them used that way, it's just, I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And he turns to you when he says that, and you see just kind of like his face is just fallen, and there's like real honesty there when he says that. And he looks at you and he just says, like, we need to be careful with these vines. He likes control.
And Kat remembers how she felt when she was under that bloody thrall. Yes, we will do that.
At least now we know that we should look out for the hearts, to see their hearts that way. And after so much time, ugh.
The heart and the soul are not one and the same. The heart is but an organ.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
We've done all we can for them now. Let's go back to the others.
And you do. The little training session.
And a smile.
And you're faced with this choice, north or east.
Can I infer that the heartbeat that I heard was from that heart through the north, but I didn't hear a heartbeat from the east?
You didn't hear that one. Yeah, yeah.
And I rolled a pretty good perception.
Do you want to roll again and check it out?
Yeah. Kat looks around and rolls a one.
You're just concerned. Yeah. Like the vines are everywhere. You're just, you don't want to feel that way again. You don't want to be put in a position to hurt your friends. You don't want Navia to be forced to feel that way. She already feels out of control.
Mm-hmm.
You know that she has major control issues.
Okay, so instead of talking about where we're going to go, I'm going to share with everybody what happens if you get touched by that blood.
Okay.
So how imperative it is that we do not let the blood get on us.
Okay.
Do not. Rule number 4. Do not let the blood get on you.
This is a rule I can get behind.
All right, I agree. Yeah, please do not get the blood on you.
It also stains, and we are a long way from a clothing shop to get it fixed.
That's true, Bo, but it also makes you go crazy.
I'm choosing not to think too much about that part.
Yeah, probably best. Well, I think we should probably go north.
It would be, I guess technically that would be left, so I support this.
Exactly. My reasoning, exactly.
And you head north, through the north doorway, opening into a short hallway with these vines. Again, kind of focus more on the ceiling. They stretch out and grow along the walls.
Is there something special about the floor? Like, different about the floor?
Roll investigation.
Okay, boop. I rolled a 3.
Not that you can tell.
I'm shook.
Yes.
Cat's not over it. Cat's upset.
Cat is upset. You walk further down this hallway. Eventually, you turn, and you find yourself in a larger room. This one, there's a very large fireplace and chimney system. This is brick and stone. And there's a huge copper pot that is in a round opening attached to this chimney system, set inside as though fire were to be it were to be heated from underneath. And this pot is connected to a series of tubes and pipes leading to several other pots. And there are a bunch of bottles on shelves in this room. Nils, roll history with advantage.
19 or 7, 19.
This is a still for distilling liquor.
Oh.
You recognize it almost immediately. That this is a big copper pot still, and there's all of these different bottles of spirits on the wall. It's a huge cellar. It goes back for a considerable distance, maybe 40 feet or so of shelves on the opposite side of the still itself. And there are two doors on the opposite wall. They're closed, and they have images carved into them. Or on the floor in front of the doors, there are two large square, what looks to be switches. Carved on the door to the left is a bunch of imagery that depicts fire imagery. It's very, very, roll history again.
Okay. 17.
You recognize some of this imagery. You recognize it from labels for the Dwarven Spirit Forge Fire, which Whoa. You would be familiar with from your time and proximity near the Dwarven Kingdom of Dridrodon. You immediately recognize that this is it shares a lot of imagery with their logo, okay. with what is on their bottle. The other doorway, Katheria, roll history.
Remember,
no,
she's
roll well, religion.
14.
14's enough to know that to see that there is a bunch of moon imagery on this. This is imagery that is reminiscent from the temple above you. There are a lot of, you know, religious moon symbols.
This was a switch or a door?
This is the door with the switch is in front of. There are two switches on the floor in front of two doors. One door has a bunch of fiery stuff. One door has a bunch of moon stuff. And you're in this room with a bunch of bottles and the still. So you're in a liquor manufacturing place.
Well, I recognize the door with the fire stuff on it. That's from the dwarves. It's like a logo for their booze.
Dwarves booze.
It's very strong.
Good stuff.
Why would there be a door with dwarf booze logo down here?
I don't know. This is really odd.
This is just imagery of moons. Like the temple above.
Yeah, that makes sense.
How does that... Well, what do you think's behind this moon door?
Moon stuff.
And Boo's stuff behind the other?
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know why this would be on the door, unless it's to throw us off.
Do you think they are aware of the rules? Trying to make us go left when we should not be.
They might be. Who's overheard us?
And we all look at Castian.
Yeah, Castian, what do you think? Have you seen any of these? Do these seem familiar?
The fire imagery is like you said, it's dwarven. It does seem familiar to me. I don't know the brand of which you speak, but you know, we do seem to be in a still of some kind.
Can I look in the big pot? Is it empty or is there stuff in there?
There is a liquid in there when you open it up.
While he's talking, I want to ladle some of it out to see if it's blood or booze or what.
It's clear. It is has a very, very strong alcohol odor.
All right. I interrupted him. I'm sorry.
He was just talking while you were there. There are some cults in the lands that worship fire, fire deities, or there's those who follow the great sun dragon Medeiros, but I'm not sure how that would relate religiously to the moon door that shares some of the imagery from the temple above, and what that has to do with our other setting that we're in, all the alcohol, I'm not sure. This is not the way that we came. We were running so quickly when we were fleeing the castle. I didn't pay particularly close attention to this room.
You've been through here.
Well, once. And it was a fast journey. We thought that we could find...
How deep did you get into the castle?
We never made it to within the walls itself. I needed their help, and they needed mine, and he just kind of trails off.
I want to roll to see what he's not telling me. Is that insight?
Insight.
No, I was so close to a nat 20 and then it rolled over. Now it's an 11.
He's overcome with emotion. You just helped him, you know, do his little funeral thing.
He's a couple times now, though, he's mentioned like some kind of collaborative thing that needs to happen. And every time he's cagey about it, and it makes me, and like the fact that he's blaming himself about their deaths makes me wonder, like, was there some kind of sacrifice thing that needed to happen or something that they didn't like agree on? That's what's going through her brain right now. So she's just got that in the back of her head whilst also feeling compassion.
Yes, you can totally be you can totally be suspicious. You definitely don't think he's lying, but you also do not think that he is. You're not just like, oh, it's okay. You know, like.
Hey, Majumbo.
Yes.
Care to take a sip of this clear liquid?
I will always accept what is offered if from a pretty lady like yourself, I mean.
Uh-huh.
And he takes it and he brings it up to his face and immediately reacts to the potency. It is a very, very, very strong scent of alcohol. And he's, oh, this could strip the paint off of one of the great shipping cogs that come through Plas Namsarid. I mean, this is and he bottoms up. He does take a sip, immediately starts coughing.
Oh,
just hacks. It's aggressive reaction to this, and he says, "It's pure white alcohol. It's like moonshine."
Oh.
And I opened the moon door.
Yeah. How?
With my hands. What's is it a special switch. Door? Oh.
Yeah, I pull the switch.
The switch is a floor switch. It's like you step on it and it depresses. When you do that, nothing immediately happens.
I thought that would be cool.
I'll go step on the fire door switch.
Same time?
Yeah.
Also, nothing immediately happens when you do the action as you've described it.
There's something else in this room. Do we pour the alcohol? Do we pour the moonshine on the moon switch?
Well, then what would we pour on the fire switch?
Well, we would do the moonshine as well and then light it on fire. Because it's pure alcohol.
The idea of just pouring liquid on a foot switch is odd to me.
Adventures, I don't know. Anything's possible. Okay. This is a magic realm.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You do this more than I do.
You're right.
What if you drink it?
Drink the moonshine?
Yeah, on the switch. In front of the... If the door... Like, this is... There's some symbols here I remember from our books that... You know, they're watchful symbols. They're kind of warding symbols. And perhaps the door can see... And maybe you need to drink it.
Ooh.
Well, Majumbo's already had a taste.
I will not be doing this again, thank you.
I don't blame you. All right, I'll do it.
Navia? No, you've been going through it.
Normally, I would say I could use a drink, but...
I just volunteered. Why did you...
There are two switches.
Okay, you're a person.
You want me to... Oh. This?
It could be Cassian.
And I look at Cassian.
He just kind of looks back and like kind of slowly shakes his head.
He's also going through it. Okay. Yeah.
Looks like it's up to us.
Looks like. And I ladle out two glasses.
I do want to take a bunch of this alcohol in a jar, though.
Okay, so I'm on one side ladling out two glasses, and Nils is on the other side.
Just filling container.
refilling his bug juice jar.
Can't mix it. I don't know what's going to happen.
The bug juice is gone?
No, we still have a little bit left.
Okay.
There's still some. All right, you have a jar of the moonshine.
Yep.
And you have a glass of the moonshine, Katheria, and you step onto the switch.
And there isn't, like, you said it was a distilling. Is there like, a finished products area?
There are shelves full of bottles.
Full of bottles that are full?
Full of bottles that are full.
Are they clear?
No.
Oh.
That's it. You can feel free to drink the moonshine, but I'm guessing that that's going to be your liquid.
Oh, man. All right, yeah, no, I'll go take one of those old jars, I guess.
Does he know? I'm looking at Majumbo. Does he know how alcohol is created? He's supposed to be of noble blood. He should have familiarity with that it is better when it's older.
Stuff's kind of just brought to you, you know. You know how it is growing up in a castle.
I investigate things. I'm curious.
I'm curious, too. I can hear you, the whole thing.
You go over to the shelves of the bottles, and you can see that they are dark liquors, for the most part. They're all covered in dust, and initially, when you kind of, like, go to blow the dust and investigate further, it fills your nose, and you cough a little bit.
Yeah, ugh.
These are unbroken, sealed bottles of a dark brown liquor of some kind. Not all of them are the same. You can tell that the labels are different.
Mm. Okay, I can tell that he doesn't know what he's doing, so I'm going to go over and try to help.
Investigation.
9.
Just two dummies.
But I'm going to pretend I know.
Okay.
Just to save face. this one, and I pick a particularly dark
colored. You pick a bottle. Of the darker liquid.
This is like us in the wine aisle, like, yes. Yeah.
This will be a good one.
A Cabernet with notes of berry, perfect for fish.
It's not. you go back to the switches now with this bottle, Nils, that Etheria picked out.
Okay.
What do you do?
Ready?
Ready.
All right.
You step onto the switches.
Yep.
I daintily sip my booze.
I take a swig.
The moonshine door stirs. The switch depresses, and as you drink, you are overcome with a straight alcohol burning throughout your throat. It is not pleasant. You start to cough reflexively. The door shudders and starts to move. But Nils, when you drink your swig, you taste what tastes to you like a very nice, well-aged whiskey. It is a smooth, oaky, kind of peaty, nice whiskey that you just drank. It does not seem familiar to you, as you know Forge Fire to be, which is a very harsh burning, followed by this kind of mellow niceness.
I scooped the wrong thing.
And I think her consolations are kind of like flaring up.
When they do, there's a response of that light from the door. The symbols also kind of glow in response, and they start to fade as you flicker. They flicker and fade, and you can see through the door into a very like almost, it almost looks like a star field, but purplier than
the
night sky. Yeah, it's a you get a brief glimpse that there's something wacky behind that door. The door does not fully open, however.
Did you see that?
Yeah, keep drinking.
Okay. I do. Because I think she sipped her shot, but now she's going to take the shot.
Yeah. You drink more, and the switch depresses a little bit further. Your starry tattoos start to glow more with the heat of this pure
she gets
moonshine.
A flush. Yeah. But it's her tattoos. Oh, God.
And the door starts to starts to shudder. The stone starts to shift, and the moon images start to glow. And the door starts to fade. As it does, it reveals behind a enormous room of fine elven architecture, walkways and gazebos and paths, all carved out of opalescent moonstone in this huge, almost endless expanse of a purpley sky with stars dotted all around, illuminating the room. And it glows as if you're out in the night sky.
This is Katheria's favorite thing.
And you're very drunk.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
one shot.
You just drank a lot of pure alcohol.
Yo.
Yeah. But the opposite switch was not depressed and not triggered, and it goes away as you get this full glimpse of this amazing space in beyond this door, but then it goes away.
No! No, a cat, like, walks to the door, puts her hands on it, and she triggers her starry consolation skin to try to, like, wake it back up again.
Mm-mm.
Nils! Mavia! No!
What? Oh, no. Why did it close?
You didn't drink enough!
What? All right, I'll drink more.
That particular bottle has no effect.
I'll keep
on
drinking.
On Nils?
On the door.
Then what?
This isn't doing anything.
A jumbo!
Is there another... perhaps it's the wrong vintage. The wrong... is there a bottle of actual Forge Fire here somewhere on the shelves? Maybe that's the one that we need to find.
Oh, yeah, let's go look. I go take a look.
All right, the two of you go look. Majumbo.
I'm never going to find this thing. So roll the one, five. Or five. Negative one, plus six.
Majumbo got a 12. That's enough.
Okay, thanks.
Majumbo goes and finds the bottle with the label that matches some of the imagery that is on the door. This Nils, he gives you the bottle and you look at it, and this is, it's like an older version of the logo that you're familiar with. It's like, you know, you recognize it as Forge Fire, but it's like a very, very early version of the logo. It's cool. Very primitive. It's not as elaborate. It's not as like artsy. It's a very like, it looks more kind of originalist, you know, and it has an almost red hue to the liquid inside.
I just don't understand why this is here.
But I don't care.
And I go over to the button or the switch and I start drinking.
As you go and drink, that door starts to burn away.
Whoa.
You get the you get the characteristic burn of the Forge Fire that you know. Forge Fire, I bet, is like a 21st birthday drink in Hosk. It's probably like a Jaeger bomb kind of thing. God. It's like a you know that like you kind of goad your buddies to drink more of versus the basically Everclear that Kat was drinking. And the door starts to burn away, but again, you weren't synchronized, and as you look past the door as it burns away, right before it reforms, you see beyond a walkway of black obsidian stone and very angular pointed structures and this almost lava scape of like you're almost inside of a volcano. These dramatic stairs and spiral ramps that all swirl around this river of lava and flame. Completely different from the moon door that you had seen on the other side.
Yeah.
And then the door reforms because you didn't do it at the same time.
Well, we didn't have the right drinks the first time. Kat?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I think we have to do this again. But this time at the same time, because now I have the right drink because I just saw into this door and it was crazy.
I have my doors crazier.
I think mine's pretty crazy.
You didn't mine's, see.
But mine has lava.
Mine has opals. Moonstone.
Well, that's pretty, but mine will kill us.
Mine won't, so I think we should go through mine.
Okay, well, we got to do this at the same time.
Again?
Yeah. I think. Ready?
She goes and refills her shot glass.
Oh, wow.
She likes to spill a bunch.
This is not okay. I'm very scared for Kat to be drunk going through the vampire castle.
Yeah, it's not great.
You go back to the switches, and now in unison, you take your drinks. Kat, a little bit unsteady, you immediately start coughing again. It is very, very strong. Nils, roll Constitution save. Let's see if you can be cool.
Okay.
Take this drink.
You
hold it, but there's kind of a you stifle a cough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not a full embarrassing like you can't take the shot.
Yeah, sure.
But you stifle a cough. But Kat is too far gone to really notice. But now having taken both of these drinks at the same time, each door opens fully. The fire door burns away in a wisp of flame and reveals this path, this obsidian path through this lavascape beyond. The moon door fades away in sparkly light, revealing these opal walkways through this vast purple starscape. And you have to choose.
The starscape.
Yes.
You know when you're drunk and something good happens and everything, it feels so fucking good. Nils saying yes to what I want. Oh.
And you walk into the moon room, the five of you. And once the last of you crosses the threshold, you look back and there's no door.
Oh.
Hey everybody, Russell here with a few quick announcements, then we're going to get you right back to it. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the prequel series. We are getting nearer and nearer to the completion of the prequel as we get closer to the start of season 5. very excited for the return of our main storyline. But until then, we've got a lot of excitement still with this little Cytheria and Nils adventure. Very happy with what Mike and Beth have been bringing to this one. I hope you guys are too. So we have more of it, and I hope you're enjoying it. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/dndndpod. We just sent out the latest t-shirt, the Margin t-shirt, and the next one will be a couple months away. For those t-shirt folks, some merch went out for some merch folks recently. Want to say happy birthday to Josh Grucock, a new patron over there on our Patreon. So go check out our Patreon, patreon.com/dndpod. And happy birthday, Josh. Sorry for missing the your actual birthday, but happy belated. And I hope that you had a wonderful celebration, however you chose to celebrate your birthday. And I hope you had some great food. That's how I like to celebrate my birthday. So I hope that however you celebrated, it was fun for you. Do what's fun, especially on your birthday. I think that's it for now. Next new episode will be on Wednesday the 18th. So until then, just a couple of ads and then we'll get back to it. Thanks, everybody. Do what's fun. So you walked into this room and the door disappeared behind you.
Don't care.
The path you find yourself on is this brilliant opal. It's almost as if it's carved out of a single stone. There, you can't see any kind of masonry marks or anything. It's just this long, smooth road of this opalescent material. It shimmers under the starlight in this this purpley sky that seems to extend into just infinity. There are no walls that you can see. There's no floor. There's no ceiling. The pathway has a railing that's about 2.5-3 feet high. So there isn't an immediate danger of just wandering off
the Rainbow Road.
It's very Rainbow Roady. The path after the door disappeared, and you look behind you and you see that you cannot return from the way you came. The path just kind of continues. So there is a forward and a backward, I guess, but there isn't just a stop. It's just this walkway.
Can we see how far it goes?
It connects to kind of a pathway system, a road system, I suppose, for lack of better descriptor that immediately jumps to mind. They're not particularly buildings, but they're almost gazebo-like, and the architecture is very, very high elven in a way that exceeds even your understanding of that kind of artistic architecture style. Very high arches.
I'm going to have a disadvantage on all of my... while I think
after your moonshine
after
adventure,
my three shots of moonshine.
It was more than Kat is accustomed to drinking.
No, I imagine that Kat is a ceremonial drinker, not a social drinker.
Right.
Oh, for sure. Her attitude makes it seem like she's not a drinker.
The moonshine was required to continue the quest, and so she swallowed her pride in addition to the high ABV, that's what led you into this place. It is wondrous, especially with your intoxication. I think that there's kind of an added layer of excitement and curiosity to this. Just bizarre place. This is unlike anything that you guys have ever seen, Kat and Nils, for sure. You know, you're basically, it feels like you're walking through a night sky. But there isn't the actual sky itself doesn't have the kind of darkness that your night sky has. It is more lit up with an almost galactic kind of filler. Like it's not as if it's all nebula. Like there's definitely just space, but it has a color to it. It has a kind of purple background that's not just the dark night sky from your world. But there's stars in the sky, and there is a very, very large moon that kind of hangs at a significant distance. It's hard to say. It's at once closer than you would ever expect a moon to be, but it is still seems as though it is too far to reach. None of the pathways go to the moon specifically.
I was doing like, it's the moon. Why would the path? It's so far away. But now I'm like, wait, but wait, we could go there?
We said it's significantly closer.
Yeah, but it's the moon. It's a planetary thing.
It is a heavenly body.
A celestial object.
Yes. And it hangs off in the distance. Yeah, almost as if it's watching you. And as you kind of have no choice but to walk. You're almost compelled to move forward. It's not as though you feel under any kind of magical control or anything. But you all move. All five of you are moving forward along this path. And Cassian's hanging back a little bit. He still seems very shaken by the encounter that you guys had with some of his fallen companions. He has the large greatsword with him still. Navia is wielding the short sword that she took from one of the ghouls that you defeated. And she's, you know, because she's still trying not to use her magic. So she has that kind of at the ready and she's looking around. But she's looking around with an incredible sense of wonder. As is Majumbo, he's scribbling notes into a notebook. He is absolutely bewildered by this place. The only person who seems unsettled in your party is Cassian. And he's a little bit of a distance away from you, much more on guard than the four of you in the main party.
Oh, I think if Kat was not intoxicated, she would probably be more aligned with that way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the case. And so she's going to turn to Nils and, like, grab his big, beefy arm.
Yes.
Have I ever told you about what I used to do as a little girl?
No, you haven't told me anything about your past. But,
canonical laugh. In-character laugh.
I would sneak away to the special room in my house, and it was open to the sky, and I would for hours just stare at the moon, and there were all these wild different kinds of plants that grew around there, and I loved it there, and I would close my eyes, and in my imaginings, this is where I would go. This is like a dreamscape from my childhood brain.
That's beautiful. Wow.
Wow is right, and we're here. Why are we here?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. Either.
Bo.
And he's like leaning like a little bit too far over a railing to try to like see stuff and like scribble notes or make sketches or something. And he turns back and he says, "Oh yes, sorry, I was distracted by this incredible sky. Look. This is nothing like night back home. It's the depth of colors. It's just, I feel like I could dive into it, but that would probably be bad.
It's like a lonely little girl's dream.
That's at once sad and beautiful," and he like scribbles it.
I just can't believe we were fishing like a week ago or something. I don't even know how it works. Yeah, and now we're here.
I've never been fishing.
Well, I'll take you sometime when we get back.
Don't.
I think I might.
Don't.
Okay.
Oh, why are we here?
I guess we're looking for some dinner guests, but it seems that this may not be the place to find them. As far as hidden temples go, I think we found a good one. Quite the adventure. I'm very, very glad to have discovered that portal. Although we were just almost killed by some undead creatures, but right now in this moment, that doesn't seem to matter.
Maybe we did die. Are we dead?
Oh God, did we die? Did we die, Kat?
I know, not dead. I don't.
She seems dead. She's so happy.
Me? What? When you
No, she's not dead. She's just not usually one for the drink. It's not usually her vice of choice. So we're just gonna.
It's a light bird. Oh, I like that.
It's a light bird. Okay.
Yeah, I'm I was an RA.
What?
Only for half a semester.
The residential acolyte.
It was frowned upon. I'm very responsible, Nils.
Yeah.
Sometimes too responsible. I try to get her to lighten up sometimes, but this might be a little bit more than she's used to.
I have a lot of responsibilities. If we need to go to dinner, then we need to find a kitchen.
All right, so we're on the look for a kitchen.
Castian! Oh, no. Oh.
He's just so sad. And, like, withdrawn and worried looking. And he is very, he looks very uncomfortable, especially compared to the rest of you, who, like, even Navia, who is worried about her wild magic stuff, and also now kind of in, like, friend taking care of drunk friend mode, you know, like she's like preemptively like gathering your hair,
making sure when I leave things on the ground, she picks them up.
Yeah, she's got them. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like stuff's just kind of falling out of your. But Castian definitely is in a different place compared to the rest of you, both mentally, physically. He's here, but at a distance, and he says. You'll recover soon. You know, hopefully that was just a magical effect, the liquor necessary to open this door. But be on your guard, all of you. This could be some sort of evil trick of his.
I think Kat's gonna, like, ninja pose, like, okay.
I'm gonna cast heroism.
Okay.
On Castian.
What is heroism do?
A willing creature you touch is imbued with bravery.
Ooh.
Until the spell ends, the creature is immune to being frightened and gains temporary hit points equal to your spell casting ability modifier.
Okay.
But this is more of like a battle, because this says like about turns.
Oh, sure. It's a buff, but you're using it this way. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. Yeah. Like an inspiring kind of moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Inspiration for that.
I already have inspiration.
Okay.
Thank
you. Good.
Yes. Double inspiration.
What's that like?
And then you used yours last time.
Yeah, that means I don't have any.
Okay, well, inspiration for your drunk acting.
Oh,
then.
Stop!
This pity inspiration.
I will not take your pity inspiration.
Okay, yeah, you do. What do you kind of say to him when you touch him? He kind of recoils a little bit when you approach him. He's still a little bit out of it.
Look around you. I know you have had a rough couple of days. But look at this place. This place is gorgeous and beautiful. And I keep looking over at Kat while I'm saying this stuff.
And Kat's like squat down, hands in karate chop pose, kind of scooting forward like, I'm ready.
We've stumbled upon this place that we don't know where we're going. We don't know where this leads, but this could make you feel better. At the end of what where we're going.
How is this a castle?
He does kind of soften a little bit. You know, he kind of looks around. He looks at you guys, and you know, he looks around, and he does soften a little bit. And he looks at you, and he says, "I do hope you're right. That when all this is over, I will feel better.
You will, bud.
Yeah, I hope that's true.
You will. I just know it."
He perks up a little bit, and he kinda, come on, yeah. And you guys keep going. You get to a kind of like a few of these paths come together. It's a little square. There's benches, and you know, like
who built these benches, Gressel? The moon people?
Do moon people live here, Gressel?
Who built the benches?
Why are there benches in this beautiful moon place?
has been very naturalistic up to this point, hasn't it? The moon has arms. Yeah. Just thinks that's fun.
The moon built the benches.
Well, as you get to this place, you see that there are some like silvery glowing orbs that are floating in the space off of these paths. And they kind of rise and bounce around. They're moving very slowly and almost as if they're orbiting something. They have it almost as if they're on some kind of preset path. And they're just kind of slowly moving around in the space off of, you know, in the space around you.
Be careful, Navia.
She mom arms Navia.
We don't know.
We don't know what the orbs are?
What the orbs are? Oh, Castian said to be careful.
Yes, that would be my advice.
Oh, you're right there.
An orb starts to float closer than any of these other ones. It's just over the railing, within arm's reach, and it's slowly rising. And it's getting closer, and I think Kat's definitely curious about it, and you're looking into it. Roll perception,
Kat. Okay.
With disadvantage.
You got it. My first roll was an 11, and my second roll was a nat 20. Damn.
Oh.
It's going to be an 11 then.
11 is enough where you can see, looking into this orb, it catches your eye. First, it's just this shimmering thing that you're holding Navia back from.
Mm-hmm.
But as it rises up to eye level, you can see almost there's something moving within it, it looks like.
A baby.
She reaches out to touch it.
When you reach out to touch it, you make contact with the silver, with the light. And it's at first very cold. But then it has a warmth to it, and you are now... you're not pulled into it. Like, you, Nils, don't see Kat disappear or anything.
Okay.
But Katheria, you are now experiencing as if you are inside of a different room.
What?
Yeah. You are now in this kind of, like, wooden cabin, and there's a figure walking across it. A very tall figure, 7 feet tall, broad shoulders, robed in, like, resplendent robes of... like blues and silvers and purples, very cold tones. And this figure you see has a hood at first and turns around and removes the hood, revealing a reptilian scaled face and clawed lizard like hands. You see that there is a tail and small wings coming out of its back.
Would I be able to... Kat would know this to be a dragon.
A dragonborn, yes, for sure. You would recognize that this seems to be, some sort of dragon folk. You make eye contact, and this dragon... Eye contact, yes.
I have eyes. I'm there.
You at least feel as if you are there. And you make eye contact, and when you do, the dragon person smiles. You get a kind of like feminine energy from her, as best you can tell. And she holds out her hand to you, and something starts to float towards you. And now you're back in the space room. Now you're back in the moon room. And there's the orb floating in front of you, and something is floating out towards you.
Oh, I want it.
Okay, you grab it, and it looks like it's a small morsel of maybe a bread or something.
It's food. Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. And you look back at the dragon person, who now you can see is more through like a sheen of this orb. Like, now you're not as present within it. There was this meeting moment, and then you kind of separated. And now you have this morsel, and the dragon person motions for you to eat it.
I do.
And this is a bizarre thing now, because now there's a huge whooshing and a sudden like pull, you feel stretched, and then you find yourself back in Knight's Castle.
What?
You're a child.
Oh. It's Cat's like never going to drink again.
Back in, it's like you went back in time.
Wow, okay.
You have this, you are now experiencing things as if you were a child back in this memory you just described.
Whoa. I look at myself.
You see yourself as 20-something Etheria.
Okay.
But your perception of things is as if you were a child. It's
almost like it's a sense memory.
Yeah, it's like you were transported into this memory.
Whoa. Where am I in Knight's Pass?
You're in the chamber that you were just you're in that memory that you just described.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm in the Knight's Chamber.
Yes. Nils, you hear her say that.
No, now you're in the moon. You're in this place. In the moon? What?
I can see the moon.
Kat, are you okay?
I'm home. I'm home?
Oh, that's kind of sweet to say.
You cannot see anybody else, but you can hear them.
Oh, this is weird. Is there anything happening, or am I just in that room?
It's the memory. So whatever that memory that you would, whatever the memory that you just described to Nils, whatever happened in that memory is what's happening.
I was alone.
And that's it. And you're just having you were just there.
I think I sit down and just keep eating the bread.
Where'd she get bread from? I'm hungry.
Nils, you look at the orb. Mm. You look to try to see, like, where did this come from? Roll perception.
16.
Yeah, you see this dragon person, this dragon, you know, this robed dragon person.
Hi.
You wave or whatever. Yeah. And she waves back very friendly. And she also extends her hand, and this morsel of food is extended out toward you.
Thank you. I'm very hungry. I take it and I take a bite.
And you are also transported to a memory.
Oh, not hers?
Not hers.
Oh.
No. This is something, some specific memory of you that this makes you think of, that this makes Nils think of. Whatever that may be, you are now experiencing that memory.
I'm wrestling with the Moose Men. And yeah. I'm winning.
And, you know, all of Nils's memories are when he's winning.
Just that moment of triumph where all the other ones are cheering for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bo's in the background. He grabs your arm to raise it up as champion.
Yep.
Your arm goes up. Everybody else sees it except for Katheria, who's seeing her own memory.
You know that phenomenon where like a bunch of dudes will get together at like a 20-year high school reunion and all of them have the same story about how they scored the winning touchdown at the homecoming game? I imagine that all of Nils's memories, even if he didn't win the arm wrestling competition, he won the arm wrestling competition. Yeah.
I was reading something the other day about how memory's not real.
It's not real.
And that really messed with my brain.
Yeah. If anybody listening to this wants to have a little personal crisis, go ahead and look into that particular fact.
Yep.
Memory is not real.
Nope. We have no way of knowing what actually happened.
Human beings? Our storytellers.
Isn't it fun?
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
That's why we record everything, because then we actually have proof.
And yet we still forget.
Yes.
And misremember.
It's true. So you're experiencing this memory after you eat this kind of this morsel of food that was transported through this bauble. The orb continues to drift along its path. It's starting to kind of float away from you as you guys are in these memories for these few moments. Nils, yours doesn't last as long if you don't keep eating the bit of food that you were given.
Yeah, I forgot about it.
Yeah, you're just in there celebrating, and then it slowly fades away. In a very, you know, you're not like popped back or anything. It just kind of slowly fades away. But you did feel that initial pull and weird, you know, stretch into back in time in a way,
into that pearl of memory,
right? And, but Katheria, you're still kind of in it, between the alcohol and continuing to eat it. And maybe a desire somehow to not leave.
Yeah.
You're still kind of in this.
It's safe.
Yeah.
That's her spot.
Yeah. Navia realizes that there's something happening with you, and she's trying to be very comforting and gentle with you. She's kind of cradling you, stroking your hair a little bit, like, it's all right. You're okay. You're safe. Whatever's happening, it will fade. But how do you experience that in the memory?
The physical,
yeah,
having somebody stroke my hair comfort me. This is a very interesting sensory position for her, because when you're drunk, everything feels a little more,
mm-hmm.
a little nicer. So like the emotions of the situation are different. And if I'm experiencing this the same way that I did as a kid, that was like a place where she would escape. So it was a place where she had like put her stress behind the door,
mm-hmm.
and this is a private space where she can be herself and be without consequence. And to have someone else there is sort of like
invasion of privacy.
A violation.
It feels like a violation to have somebody else in that space.
Okay.
And while... So I think the sensory of that is too much.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. That it's like overwhelming.
Yeah.
Even though she's trying to help.
And I think she pushes Navia away. However, she knows how to do mm-hmm. that, because she's not in the physical space, but yeah. is in the physical space.
It starts to kind of break down the memory a little bit. Yeah. That like, this isn't what happened.
Right.
This isn't what's supposed to
this
be.
This isn't right.
Yeah.
Stop. I think Kat's like, stop.
It takes her back. That upsets Navy a little bit. And even though she does, she retreats. She's like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I just wanted to make sure you're all right. You just seem.
I'm fine.
This isn't. You don't really seem yourself right now. It's just, and coming out of this now, you're starting to kind of. You know, it's not completely sobering, but it's that,
yeah.
it's that beginning of like, now things are starting to turn,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you slowly, like Nils a moment ago, where he slowly came back to you had this, just a quick little flash of like the success and, you know, Bo's like, I remember that. It was a great time. now Kat, you're starting to come out of it a little bit, and you're the moon. The shot I'm imagining is that your moon dissolves into the big moon,
mm-hmm.
and you're overcome with that the physical image of it. It almost feels oppressive, that now this thing that was distant and comforting is now up front and potentially dangerous. Now you're back in the moon room fully. The memory has faded. You still have some of the food left. I think, Nils, you still have some of the food left, too.
Yeah, but
the bobble has, moved on. There are others that are floating around, but none have come as close.
I was home.
You were right here.
No, I wasn't. I was in my chamber. I was home. Oh, I don't like this. Where's the kitchen?
Oh, I don't know. I had a memory that I won arm wrestling against the Mooseman.
Let's go.
I guess we can go this way. It's left-ish. and you continue down the path. As you do, there are more of these orbs that are floating around, and the moon continues to hang in this night sky.
I think she's doesn't feel good anymore.
You sobering up?
No.
Oh.
Not quite. I think she's just like, suddenly the wonder of the space while still there, that was like a lot for Kat. And then mixing it with what Castian was saying about, like, we need to be wary. I didn't like being touched in that moment. I sort of want to be alone,
mm-hmm.
but it would be unsafe to be alone. So I feel unsafe with everybody and unsafe without everybody. So, like, I think her core of security is, like, weak right now. That's a weird way of saying that.
Core of security.
You know, everybody's core of security.
Sure.
Where you're insecure or secure, she is insecure right now.
Yeah, it continues to be this strange experience being in this place. It's on the cooler side, temperature wise, it feels like cold, you know, not a cold night, but a chilly night. There's not really wind or anything, but you still feel a movement to the air in this space. It has almost a like post thunderstorm smell, where there's,
oh, man. I love that smell.
Yeah, it's kind of a refresh, like a newness almost, but it also feels very ancient and earthy. It's a odd place to be, and you continue to walk along these opaly paths. Eventually, you get to this very strange, not really room, because it doesn't have a ceiling, but you get to this platform, and floating above it, you see this kind of from a distance as you approach. There are these two collections of liquid. They're like how in like footage from the space station when they open up a liquid and it balls together in zero gravity. That's kind of what they're, these very large balls of liquid that are floating above this platform, and it's kind of where the path dead ends. And within each of these two lakes, ponds, floating ponds, whatever, there's something, there's an object within these. And it looks like the liquid within them is, it's kind of a variation of the purple of the sky, like in the way that water in, you know, your world will reflect the sky. It does that as well, but it has a kind of pinkness to it. It seems like water, except for the color. But you're unsure if that's just the reflection of the light or if that's the color of the liquid itself. There's something at the center of each of these. They're particularly large. They're probably 15 feet across, each wow. one, these two big orbs. And this big platform where the path kind of dead ends into the sky. And you're looking out over the sky and the stars and the moon and these orbs floating around.
Majumbo, you drink it.
I don't think this is a drinking one.
The last one was a drinking one. This looks like drinking one, too.
Can try. I guess I kind of owe you one.
Yeah, do her a solid, man.
All right, help me up.
Okay.
And Nils gives Majumbo a boost up to reach one of the floating orbs of water. And he kind of like swipes at it, splashes at it, and it splashes down. And as soon as he makes contact with it, some of the water falls. It, like, then gravity affects it and falls.
Are we under it?
You're under it-ish. He's under it. Nils and Majumbo are under it. And they get, you know, it doesn't completely fall. But the water, you know, as it splashes, gravity affects it. And you guys get a little bit wet. And enough of it kind of splashes on your faces that you realize this is water, as best you can tell.
Okay, yeah, this is just water, I think.
Yeah. It's any... grabs like his water skin or whatever, and he scoops some and he drinks it. He's like, okay, I guess we'll give it a try. Heal me if I die.
Yeah, you got it.
And he chugs some, and nothing happens. I told you this was not a drinking one.
Are you dead? No, you're alive.
There was earlier if we are all dead.
How do you know he's alive? You thought I was. They thought I was dead.
We thought.
I did, because you're so happy. Because
I was smiling?
There's a version of this reality where we are all dead, but that could be a bigger conversation.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that over the campfire.
No. We're in the Feywild, so does that mean that maybe back home, are we dead?
Well,
wait,
we
guys,
exist.
guys, wait, think about it, though. Are we dead at home?
No, we don't exist at home.
But don't exist, there's a lot of ways to define death.
If we are not there and no one can interact with us.
Yeah. Then are we by as good all as intents dead? And purposes, are we as good as dead?
Right. We're just missing.
We're dead.
No, we're not. We're missing. We're
and
not
And how
there.
Many universes that we don't exist in does we are dead?
Well, to answer that question, we're in this one.
So we're
so
not
we're alive.
Here. Nils, think about it.
We need to get out of here. Is what I'm thinking about.
Death is the ultimate escape.
Okay. No more drinks for this one.
She does get a little bit philosophical at this point. This is sometimes it's fun, you know, but in this specific instance, it's a little bit morbid. And
okay,
maybe a stop.
What's next?
I
what's
think
the next this phase?
I think this might be the way out, but I'm a little bit concerned if my theory is right. There's something in the center of these. Of these pools, and I think we may need to swim to them.
Oh, I was referring to her mood, but if we need to swim,
oh, she'll be fine.
Okay, I just wasn't sure if like
tomorrow she'll be. Oh, it's not. She won't be fun to be around.
You don't know.
What don't I know?
You don't know. You don't. You're acting like you know, and you don't know.
What is it? I don't know.
You don't know me. You don't. It's. Oh. I think you think. Maybe. I think you think you know me. And I'm here to tell you that there's a lot to me that you don't know. And I am. There's a universe inside of me. And I can be anything I want to be at any time that I want to be. So you telling Nils. That I'm gonna be okay tomorrow, or not fun to be around. You don't know.
I grab her hand and we start swimming.
Whoa!
You just like jump into the water?
Yeah, because I don't want her saying anything else to hurt her feel it to hurt Navia's feelings. Like, come on, Cat, let's go.
You grab her hand and you jump into the water and it's like throwing a bucket of water. You have this moment. When you jump into the water, you're kind of pulled into it. And even though you're jumping up, you suddenly have this sensation as if you dove down.
Oh, weird.
Weird.
Yeah. Cat would probably react to like scream or something.
I think she would not remember to hold her breath.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I think you kind of. Yeah, what do you do?
Living in the moment, baby. I am still talking to Navia, so I definitely inhale some water.
Mm-hmm.
Realize that I'm wet and cold, and just like dog instinct, start swimming. Drunk cat turns into an otter.
Okay, you do that. You kind of have this moment where you just kind of keep talking, and you instinctively turn into a creature that can that can swim. And you, Nils, you feel her hand suddenly get smaller and furry. And now, Kat, you can zip around as easily as an otter in this.
That's got to be like an instinctual thing. Hit the water, turn into an otter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this is what would feel most natural. And yeah. Yeah. Okay. And she does. I think she. Suddenly it feels really nice to be in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And since Nils is there, I think she sort of figure eights around Nils.
Oh, that's nice.
And is relishing the kind of shock of that.
Yeah. It'd probably be a bit of a surprise from Nils.
Yeah, for sure.
Push him in the nose with my little paw. But you said that there's something in the middle of this water. There's like a 15-foot long object thing.
No, the pool is like 15 feet wide. In the center of this is a small something.
Oh, do I notice it? Because I wasn't really looking for it when we approached.
Roll perception.
15.
15. Yeah, you notice it in one of your figure eights as you're kind of looping around. There's something that catches your eye with each pass. It's like you come around the corner of his side or whatever, and as you come around the top. You see this thing, and you see it every time you make a loop. There's something, you know, 10 feet away from you or so. In the water.
I push off his head towards it.
You do that. Nils, roll athletics to see if you are still able to hang out underwater here or if you need to go get a breath.
14.
You're getting close.
Yeah.
And you try to keep up with the otter, but you can't swim as fast as she can.
Mm-mm.
But you're trying to keep up with her, and you get closer to this object, Theria, and you see that it is it looks like it's a switch of some kind. It's a cylindrical button on a small square pedestal.
Is the square pedestal anchored on anything?
Nope, it's just floating there, as best you can tell.
Okay. You said I didn't have to roll disadvantage, but am I still... I am still an affected brain.
If you were trying to, like, you can see better, but if you're trying to deductive reason,
yeah,
may not be your strongest.
I ask because ordinarily I would see if there was another switch in the other body of water, but I'm living in the moment, so she presses the switch.
Nothing happens.
She does it again.
nothing continues to happen with each time you press this button. Nils, you're starting to run out of air.
Yeah, I gotta surface. Don't let me drown.
And Nils, as you are distracted with the button, Nils retreats back down. You feel as though you're swimming up, but you're in fact going down until you surface, and then you tumble out onto the ground. All wet, and there's Navia and Majumbo. What was in there? What was it like?
An otter.
She does that. Yes, it's her go to swimming creature.
Oh yeah, that was weird. That was the weirdest thing. There's also a button.
Ah, that's
so.
That's what I was afraid of. And she pressed it. I assume, and nothing happened.
Two or three times, from what I could make out.
Now little otter cat has the button on top of her otter belly. Is pressing the button.
Like a little bot, little bing, 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 bing.
Well, that's kind of cute. What if we push the other one at the same time? Since that's what we had to do to get in here.
Yeah, if between the two of you, you're the stronger swimmer, I assume.
Yeah.
Yes, and you ran out of air already. I don't think I have any choice.
Oh, shit.
Throw me into the water, Nils, if you don't mind.
Oh, all right. I pick her up, I guess, and chuck her up there.
And she wild shapes.
Oh, yeah?
Into...
Oh. Uh-oh.
She turns into a beaver when you toss her into the water, Nils, and she starts to swim towards the center of the opposite bubble. And as she does... you can see that she's having a rough time. It seems like you like the shift wasn't as elegant as Katheria's was. And you kind of watch as she kind of struggles to get through the water. You know, there's some like lurching a little bit, some like almost as if cramping or something. But she straightens out and she heads toward the button. And as Otter Katheria is just kind of randomly pressing her and tapping her button.
It's like that gif, that cat on the side of the table.
Oh, yeah.
And Navia approaches her button and presses it. And when they are pressed at the same time on the platform that appeared to be a dead end, a door opens.
Ah.
And the water crashes to the ground.
Oh.
And splashes on the platform.
Ow!
Navia returns to her human, or not human, but, you know, elven form. And is shuddering. She's kind of shivering as if she's really cold. And you, Nils, and Majumbo notice that she's kind of glowing a little bit. Theria, how do you react when you splash into the ground? Do you revert or do you stay an otter?
I revert.
Okay, and you return to yourself as well. You have now, is this a sobering enough experience or are you still feeling it?
It's three shots, Gressel.
Okay. of moonshine.
I think she's down to one shot after all the walking and memory surfing.
Sure.
But I don't think she's out of, she's not sober, no.
Okay. Yes. So
she is like, Nils saw me as an otter. In my head, she's like flat on her back, staring up at the moon, like, Nils saw me as an otter.
Nils, you look through the door, you see there's snow that's starting to blow through, in through the door. And you look through and you see that you are looking down into what looks like a courtyard.
Castian.
This might have been it. This was the point that I couldn't cross. It wasn't this weird moon room, but there were these two hidden switches, and I wasn't able to press them both at the same time. That's why I needed help. This is not the way that I was expecting to arrive. But that seems to be the courtyard of the Castle Orthos.
Remember when I said things are going to be all right? I think they're all right.
I don't feel all right.
Why are you glowing?
What?
And the glowing starts to grow brighter.
Oh.
Kat gets up. Notices that she's the only other person who's wet. Did you shift? Navia, did you shift?
I didn't have a choice. We had to get through.
We talked about this.
It had to be done. It was the only way forward.
Nils could have gone up there. He jumped into the water. Majumbo, do something. God.
I can't swim. I'm sorry.
Desert
person.
She goes to Navia's side and inspects her glowing body.
When you touch her skin, it's hot to the touch.
What do you feel?
It's a pressure. I don't know what's going to happen. I think you should go. I don't want you.
Go. No. I'm not leaving you here. Can you share it with me? Share it with me. And I grab her hands.
Ooh. Ooh. You feel a surge of heat through your hands. You don't know if it's something that she released or if it's something that you triggered. But all of this energy pours into you. And
man, I've been drained by trees.
And you're flung backwards.
Oh.
Can I catch her?
Roll athletics.
19.
Yes. You jump in the way and you prevent her from smashing against the stone railing.
Oh.
You jump in front and you kind of both tumble to the ground and you feel this heat too in her body. The glowing from Navia has subsided and she has, it seems as though she has passed out. Theria, you feel this surge of pain and heat and just magical, pure energy just bouncing. Every atom of your body is vibrating. You don't know how it happened, but asking to get this from her, it worked. And you have this pressure, every single cell you feel as if it's about to explode. You release all of this in this burst of magical force. And Nils, you take
it. I'm right there. Okay.
And you take, I have to get, I wasn't sure I was going to have dice today.
You're going to knock me out. You're going to vaporize me.
Oh my gosh. Oh, he's rolling a lot of dice.
Yeah.
You take 44 radiant damage.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Russell?
Oh.
Now she's sober.
D&D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Bradloff, and Mike Seigen.